There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Superhero brother, and it's time to get down. I'll be hidden in the shadow undercover at night. And I'm a bad motherfucker, I do it at times. I'm your symbol of freedom, your symbol of hope, your symbol of justice for those who don't know. And I'm the arms of the world, trying to throw it. If you want to step well, baby, I'm coming after you.
Welcome to the Friday morning edition of From the Helicarrier, number one news source from Marvel Avengers Alliance and MAA2. And we have Spec Ops dropped this week, so we've got some new content.
Hey, don't burn my only headline.
That's a hashtag. They know we pushed the show because we had nothing, so we're here special. All right. I am Epic Boss McFall. That's Golden Age Epic, and you're going to take it away.
Yeah, all right. So, yes, our headlines. Well, I've got a couple, but they're really all the same thing. Spec Ops came out of nowhere. I mean, nobody was expecting it. Spec Ops 30-whatever dropped. so that happened. Oh, and we get Red She-Hulk and Winter Soldier as unlockable characters. One's a lockbox, one is the Spec Ops character, and if you don't know which is which, then you can probably guess. and the Howard the Duck cosplay. You know, we haven't done a full show since the cosplay drop. So a Squirrel Girl's alt, which is Howard the Duck cosplay, dropped as well. But that's one of the things on sale. What is currently on sale, Charles?
Of course, you've got the Scrapper version, and I believe it's an Infiltrator version of Squirrel Girl. Mm-hmm. Of course, you got the varying price points. The lower price is for what she already is, which is a Scrapper.
Scrapper, yeah.
And then the higher price point, which is only like 10 gold more, is as for the other... whatever. I don't have it in front of me. I should have written down the two different versions since I'm taking it for cots doing this. My bad. I did buy the Scrapper one. We'll talk about that in a minute. You've got the Big Brother on sale, which is the 64 gold weapon for the Spec Ops. And then just, you know, sorted alphabet ISO. They just, you know how they'll populate the bar with something. It's just, there's a, I think it might be different for everybody, honestly, but there's an AISO, an EISO, and I think a regular... whatever we put on the agent, refined ISO,
mm-hmm.
whatever it's called.
Right.
So that's the sales right now. Still kind of sparse, but who cares? We're playing the game.
Right. All right. So let's talk about... actually, real quick, are there any Spartans?
No, not yet. Right. I guess, you know, everybody gets kind of down when this content's not there.
Right.
Or Everybody who listens is level 300. I don't know. But nobody's been telling me they're 300s yet. So that's on you guys. You want to be a Spartan shout out? You got to tell me you hit 300. You can hit me. If you're friends of mine on Facebook, hit me there. Go to From the Helicarrier on Facebook, which is our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And you can post it there. And or, you know, if you have friends in the lounge, they make sure that we know that as well.
You know, we kind of have a new Spartan level with people who are playing MAA2.
Yes.
Level 30, 1/10 of Spartan in MAA1. So you can give me a shout out because I hit level 30 in MAA2. We'll see if I get to keep it. But
all right, here you go. Here you go. For Agent Ibbett, this is 10% of Sparta.
This is Sparta.
Yeah, there you go. Which there I you wonder, go. You're getting off topic, well, on that yeah. topic, off a little bit. Sure. I wonder why they so chose a nice low level. That seems more along the lines of most online RPGs, where you mm-hmm. cap it kind of lower than when you offer an expansion, it gives you 10 more levels or something like that.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. And I think as they expand MAA2, I can see them increasing the level cap for the commander. Because right now it's the same level cap as the characters, which... is way, way, way different than it is for MAA1, right? I mean, your characters can get to level 15 and you can be level 300. So it's a huge difference in the way they're doing that. But there's so many more things to level on the characters that I think they want to make sure that the focus isn't on the The commander, right, exactly, that the focus is on the heroes, which makes sense.
Yeah.
It's completely valid. And we can we should talk MA too. I'll put that in here under current events because always good to kind of get a discussion going about MA2 and our progress and things about the game and stuff like that. So, but you know, MA1 is where our bread started getting buttered. So let's start talking about that. Spec Ops, Red She-Hulk Spec Ops arrives and brings a whole bunch of goodness to the game, including playable characters in Red She-Hulk, Winter Soldier, new enemies, new group boss for you people who were low on silver. Good thing there to start start building up the reserves again for all of the training bay costs that are going to be incurred. It's a brand new Spec Ops. It feels a lot like, I mean, it's nothing revolutionary, which is okay. We don't need a revolutionary Spec Ops every time. So, and as long as this one took to get out, I think we're all glad that it's nothing experimental and revolutionary. You know, I think
somebody made the comment last night. It's like, hey, look at it. Zax's animations. I think we know why it took so long to come out because he looks awesome.
He does look awesome. That is a great character, too, Zax.
Yeah.
And he's a great group boss. I mean, he's I didn't have any problem with the first time I faced him, which was basically launching him on my own map and then taking a swing at him. I think I got him down from 100 down to 65 using Spider-Man Noir and Rocket, which is kind of my go-to.
Do you happen to know what class he was?
Blaster.
See, that's weird. I had a blaster, and I ended up going in because I wasn't even thinking. I was just playing fights and doing something else. I'm like, oh, another great boss fight. Here we go. And I took in Red Hulk, which I'd been using because I'm using all the stuff from the previous PvP, the suit and the weapon and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I had Spider-Man Noir for some reason. I was like, oh, I'll take him in. And then I was doing well. I was actually bringing him down, and halfway through the fight, I realized, oh, I didn't put together a boss-killing team. I just put together a team, and that's something I got to pay attention to going forward.
Yes.
But right. I was doing okay. And then my internet connection reset, so I had to go spend another 20 ISO.
Oh, no.
But I tried to put a boss-killing team together. I was like, oh, let's try Fixer. And to their benefit, on Zax's description, it says he's immune to most debuffs that would restrain him or this or that or the other. I'm like, we'll try it anyway. Nope. Fixer hits him like a light rain. Right, he's just like, exactly. What? Was there something? Did I kill somebody? I'm sorry. It was a big tink tink. Is what I mean. I'm like, oh, that hit for like double digits. That's not good at all.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, do not take Fixer against him. It will not work.
Wow.
So I've heard some complaints that Zax hits like a bus, and I've also heard other people say, oh, I took him down by 60%. This is going to be a super easy boss.
Wow.
But I think, I don't know if it's the different versions or what the deal is, but tell us, you're starting to tell me about your team. What is your team that you take in, and what was your strategy, more or less?
Really, and it's funny because I didn't look at Zax's abilities before I went in. My typical team that I use for everything it's one of two teams, either bringing in Rocket and Noir just for the frequent hits, just get the team out of there so I can move on to the next thing kind of deal. Cause sometimes, you know, if you get there, if their procs start going off each other, it's one turn, you know, and you've got the other team wiped out. Or I'll go with Hybrid and Anti-Venom.
That's nice.
They're a good team up because, number one, their abilities play off of each other very nicely, and they have a great team up bonus, the second highest team up bonus in the game. The highest one available to me because I didn't do as well in the last PvP, so I don't have Colleen Wing, but apparently Colleen Wing and Howard the Duck make a better team up bonus, a higher team up bonus than...
That's just silly.
It is silly, right?
It is.
But Hybrid and Anti-Venom do well as far as like taking out the other team and taking out the competition really, really, really well. And what you want, you know, basically what you want in Spec Ops, you don't care about, leveling characters.
Right.
Or using characters that you're not as familiar with. What you want to do is finish the fights, quickly with a lot of health, team up bonuses, quartermaster bonuses, because obviously the more points you get, the easier it's going to be for you to 2- and 3-star the mission in one pass through. That's crucial because in every Spec Ops task list, there's always the, you know, 2-star every mission, 3-star every mission. It's usually the next to last step before the epic boss. You got to have 3 stars on all maps. So you want to use as little energy and ISO to 3-star each of your missions as possible. And so that's why I go for number one, high team up bonuses, and number two, characters that can wipe out the opposition quickly for the speed bonus, right, the round right. bonus, and without losing a lot of health, so you get the vitality bonus. Because having all that stuff coupled all together just gives you points up the wazoo, and then you get the multipliers and stuff like that. So so that's the team I usually use in Spec Ops. You get the anti-venom and hybrid. If I had Colleen Wing and Howard the Duck, I'd be trying them out. Although, you know, there's something to be said for the overkill bonus too. And yeah. the Iron Man and his Unibeam just is another great one for that, for getting really, really high bonuses for that. So I took those same characters. I took Noir and Rocket Raccoon into the group boss fight, which seemed to be the perfect one in hindsight, because you can't put debuffs on Zax. You want hits to the face, hits to the right. face. And Noir and Rocket give you a lot of hits to the face. It's funny, too, because... Yeah, boot to the head. It's funny because last couple group bosses we've had have all had sidekicks that come along with them.
Right.
And Zach stands alone. So you don't have to worry about taking out his ads. You just take out the boss. And so some of Rocket's beneficial moves that are good for AOE, for all enemy attacks, you don't want to use. You almost want to just focus on his second ability, which is the targeting, the murdered you option, right. which basically just does the one person attack, because you can actually squeeze off a couple of those rounds on him per Rocket's turn before you have to reload. So it's I don't know. It seemed to be a good team for taking out Zax that time. I haven't gone up against him since, because I know people have sent me their group bosses. But I'm not going to collect my group boss reward for a few more hours. Let people have a chance to take a swing at mine before I start going to their maps and attacking theirs. So.
Okay. Too bad science doesn't actually play into thing. Because, I mean, yes, we could argue maybe on Zax's level it just turned him to glass. But I was thinking, you know, Sandman would be like the natural enemy to Zax, right? Just swallow him whole.
No, you think you'd be... anybody with water-based abilities.
There's that, too. I mean, almost everything conducts electricity. So it's like, where's Pinocchio?
You don't Pinocchio, want Colossus.
Colossus. And absolutely do not take any electric teams up against this guy. Because if you read, the very first thing in his description is any electrical attack near him gives him a charge.
Yeah.
So you don't want Thor. You don't want any of the electrical weapons. Yeah, none of that stuff.
Was it Victor Mancha's big electrical attack? So yeah, don't take any of those guys in there. I haven't. You know what? I should try is my smartest men in the room team, Pym and Mr. Fantastic, because Mr. Fantastic has that great ability with the group bosses, or did before I think they nerfed it, where it could do the bifurcator.
Yes,
and wipe out a bunch of their health right away, especially if they were at 100%. But they did nerf that before Ultron, I think, and I haven't tried him since, but it might be a fun one to try, especially using both of those tacticians against the blaster version. Get a few more turns, get a few more shots at him.
Yep, I'm going in now with Noir and Rocket, like you were talking about. Oh, Zax is at 8%. Let's see if I can handle that.
Oh, you'll be able to clean him out with those, for sure.
What's funny is, you know, they always split.
Union Jack is another good one, too, to put in there.
Oh, yeah. What's funny is they always split the little icon, right, that you have for your agent in half, and the group boss is on one half.
Yes.
So I believe I'm pretty sure this person I'm fighting their boss for is, I think it's Mrs. Sparta, Buck's wife.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I'm not sure if she wants us to tell her name. That's the only reason I say that way. But the way her picture is hurt another person doing some something, right? And it's a QT photo, whatever. Well, when it splits, it looks like Zax is all romantically curled up with the other person, like, hey, this is our prom picture. And it just cracked me up.
I noticed you changed your Facebook picture, and I'm looking, and it's now half Zax, half Charles in my group
house photo. You know, maybe I'm trying to tell you something.
Maybe you are. I guess. Yeah, it's not a direct split on Zax's face, but that would be pretty funny.
That would be that. So those are the basic strategies to go in, because he's definitely, you just keep punching as hard as you can over and over again kind of guy. And definitely Rocket and Noir are setting off on him. And, of course, I have the rapier on mine. I have, I forget because I can't look at it right now, but the web gun that we got from Spider-Man Part 2.
Oh, sure. The other one goes the Grace Note.
The Grace Note. Thank you. Yeah, I've got the Grace Note, the rapier. I've got the new laser sword, which just does a ton of buffs for my character. And the Butcher's – I use the Butcher's block actually a lot.
Butcher's
blade. Yeah, I don't know. It hits really good. It sets it up. And see, I use pretty much all swords just the way it fell. And so it sets it up for slashing attacks. Like the Butcher's block will tenderize the person.
That's cool. It's too bad you're not Spiral and you can't have like swords in every hand.
Yeah.
Where's our multi-arm suit? Forget the
right. I want
the flying power armor.
Yeah, give me the Doc Ock Spider-Man suit for my agent. Right. Now here's something nifty. Kudos to Playdom for doing the artwork on this. Is in the half pictures on your friends, Zax changes color to match what his class is.
They've always done that, Charles.
Stop. Don't say that.
Kingpin had different ties or a different ascot.
Really? Is that even? Okay, that's a deep. That's just mind. You're talking about 10 pixel by 10 pixel.
Noticeable. It was a noticeable thing. You could always tell which one. They've all had that.
Still, well, kudos, Pluto, for always doing it. I just really don't. I did notice on some of them in the previous group boxes, the box or the circle around it would change, or it definitely would indicate what kind of boss you're going up against. But the fact that he fully changes color is actually kind of cool.
Right, and it's cool. You can look ahead and see, oh, there's a tactician one. Yeah. So actually, that's pretty cool, because what you can do is look through your allies and say, okay, let me set up my team with blasters. I'm going to go hit all the bruiser Zaxes. Now I'm going to set up my team with all tacticians. I'm going to hit all the blaster Zaxes or whatever the hell they're called. Yeah, it's a good way of doing it. Didn't even think about that. I just basically took whichever one was next and did it. But a little more efficient to set up a team and just do all of the bruisers all together and then do all the blasters all together.
I think the last piece of advice I'd give against Zax is, if you're finding that you're losing hard, then you need to beef up your team with high defense players or healers, even protectors, you know, something like that. Because I've seen the two sides of it. I've seen the he hits like a mag. What was it? David told me this morning. He said he hits like a Mack truck at hyperspeed. I'm like, that's kind of funny. I get that.
Wow.
While these 8% Zaxes, and at level 300, to be clear, I'm not having any problems with Zax at all. I'm clearing out these leftovers, essentially, for sure.
sweeping up the remains, basically.
Hey, you know, silver's silver, and lot boxes are lot boxes.
Yes, right. Yeah, it's too bad. Silver would be, you know, the extra silver would be nice, but hey, whatever. You can, you take what you get.
And we'll see if they do the 1-to-1 ratio on the damage to silver like they did on the last group boss.
Oh, I think they did. I remember noticing that on the last one I went through. But confirm that, because I think that'd be good to know.
And I will say, if you don't have Noir or Rocket, or they're not level 15s like ours are, then you know, look for the people that do give you extra hits. Ares, Psylocke for sure. I know there's Molly. Molly can take extra turns.
Right.
She hits Cable like a truck.
Cable can, you know, get extra turns and stuff. Although doesn't he have some, are his attacks electrical? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
Energy attacks, but I can't remember if they're electricity based. I don't think they are.
Zax says, this actually charged up to 15. Increased damage dealt and reduces damage received. Except it doesn't really help him, because I've been somehow debuffing his defense and evasion anyway. Transcendent, immune to most debuffs, which prevent use in action and applications of buffs and debuffs. Takes reduced damage from damage over time and takes slightly reduced damage from counter and follow-up attacks. They've tried to make him tough, for sure. Where is it? High frequency, many of Zax's attacks are and harmful debuffs are now considered radiation attacks and debuffs. So the new purple suit that you got, if you got it from PvP, comes into play because you're immune to radiation and radiation debuffs.
I need to fire that suit up. I hadn't even thought about that. I've been using the blaster suit, and I need to...
of course, he's relentless.
I forget about all the goodies I get from PvP. I haven't tried the new weapon, but I have been using the Butcher Blade, which I do really like.
The new weapon, man, you might never, ever, ever, ever trigger it. It hits really low, but the buffs that come with it are pretty tight. But he is, of course, immune to electricity. Short circuit, all attacks apply obsolete tech and remove a single buff. Do not take in Pepsi War Machine, thinking that you'll blast him fast with radiation, because as soon as he hits you, you won't have any attacks left over. Obsolete tech.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then the Siphon Volts gains a charge when attacked. And where's the one I saw about electricity? I know I saw one. I don't see it now.
Is it one of his passives?
I thought it was. Maybe they changed it because I saw... Maybe I thought gains a charge. Maybe I thought that was... No, I saw one that said electrical attacks near him gives him a charge. But I don't see it now. So I don't know. Maybe they changed it. Maybe I misunderstood.
Right.
But there you go. That's Zax in a nutshell. So I would definitely look forward to hearing about your teams this week and what you've come up with. And I've seen in the chat room, they took Iron Man Unibeam. Which, they nerfed that at one point. Apparently it's back to level.
Yeah. I was using that against Kingpin, I think. So
yeah,
I know that it was around, it's been really at least unnerfed since then.
Somebody said they used Beast and,
Fandral.
Deadpool.
They were asking,
I saw Deadpool earlier. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. Cool.
You might take the Warriors 2 in. Yeah, any two warriors, Hogan obviously being the one, and then any of the other warriors. Especially if you're a lower level and you're having problems, I think you take in Volstagg. Volstagg and Hogan maybe, because Hogan's going
to let him do the man in the middle protection.
And dude, if you have Volstagg's EISOs, man, he starts off with like 15 stacks of well-fed.
Oh, really? Stuff.
Yeah, I have it. It's really good.
I need to get that. I will, I got to say, my grinding, since I've been playing MAA2, my grinding in MAA1 has really fallen off the map. Yeah. I don't do the dailies. The Spec Ops is probably the most I've played in a while, and you can tell because I've only got 7 million silver. I'm down to 594 shield points. I know, 7 million.
No, for you, that's really, really low. I actually can get up to about 7 million on a good Spec Ops.
Yeah.
If I don't spend it, but of course I spend it.
Exactly. So I'm going to be taking advantage of this to get some good group boss money action. Group boss roulette. The slot machines. What else about this this list? There is a task list posted on the Agents Only Lounge. It's the pinned post, so it's the top thing. I've just been so busy lately, I haven't been able to do an actual infographic with all the battles. I'm sorry. I feel like I should. Those are always so fun, and people can share them and post them in other places and stuff. But unless I get on them, get on it within the first couple hours of Spec Ops dropping, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, because then you just start playing, right?
I just start playing. Well, it's not that I just start playing. It's just like, all right, I have time to play, start my research, got to go get back to work or whatever. But at least somebody was good enough to post a rudimentary, a very basic task list. It doesn't tell you, like it says, defeat Skurn. Well, Skurn is the one of the mini bosses in mission 2. Fight PvP, defeat Leader. I believe Leader is the boss of mission 2. Research the premonition stimulator. Use it in combat. Typical. Two-star map 2. Oh, yeah, if you haven't, and it's a little too late to warn people about this, but if you don't have in your allies, if you don't have any little phones to collect, you know, your ally distress calls to collect. Do some fights now and make sure you get some, pull in some distress calls so that you get some distress call phones, walkie-talkies to pick up, because you're going to need those for one of the tasks.
That's pretty much an always thing.
Yeah, I always keep, there's a few where I just keep those, you know, uncollected from about five people just in case, just for this reason.
So talking about, going back to Zach real quick, because I'm in that battle.
Sure.
Talking about Noir and Rocket, man. First attack I did, one attack, took him down from 75% to 67% because they just kept triggering off each other. I just sat here and watched them beat the crap out of him. And then boom, there goes my check mark for the 5% lower, and then just kept going.
Wow. Like,
all right, that's a good team.
It is a good team. Really, and they'll, yeah, once they start going, Union Jack is good too, depending on if it's not a Bruiser's axe. But it's worth checking out.
Well, you know, Rocket's a blaster. I'm actually going up against a Tactician's axe, and he hasn't had a turn yet. So we'll see what happens. But so far, hey, I made my check mark in the first shot. So there you go. Cool. I'm curious about Deadpool as well, though, because he's kind of famous for the pile up his attacks and then take the boss down by a huge amount if it's done right. So I wonder if that will work. I'm not sure it will, because the whole immune to most debuffs and those kind of things are resistant to most debuffs.
Yeah.
We'll see.
One other note, as you're doing, you know, again, trying to get some good bonuses for your battles. Red She-Hulk, not a great team player as far as like team up bonuses. The two best ones naturally are Hulk and Red Hulk, but even those aren't more than 150. She doesn't have more than three things in common with either one. So you're not getting a huge bonus. It's almost worth it more to put in a character that can do some heavy hitting and some overkill than it is to go for the team up bonus with Red Hulk. So FYI, your results may vary, but personally, I'm taking in Iron Man with Red Hulk just to get the Unibeam bonus when I have to do a team up with her.
I gotcha. She actually was okay. I played through the first team up with her, and the attacks are interesting. And she gets that gamma boost like with everything.
Yes,
and just stacks, and that's helpful.
Just wails on people. Yeah,
yeah, it's a lot of fun. I did take Red Hulk in mostly because of wasn't so much thinking about the points team up as far as the visual coolness of the team up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
with father and daughter going together. Sure,
with this sword. From Spec Ops, which I'll get the name of it in just a second, people, I promise. But with the sword from Spec Ops, this is Spec Ops, PvP, it does the thing that triggers all the radiation. Mm-hmm. So I thought between the two of them, it would do well.
Load them all up with radiation, then have her. Yeah, basically, it's like the equivalent of the bleeding debuff and hemorrhage.
Hemorrhage, yes. Which
triggers all stacks of bleeding to...
So, but she stayed alive, which is, you know, my first measure of a character that we get in Spec Ops. Like, can I keep them alive in the game? Oh, I did. Okay, cool.
And the cool thing again with Red Hulk is that you get Bulwark, which protects. You know, when you've got a new character that you're not familiar with, having a protection on them so that they can you can keep them alive is always a plus. So, totally makes sense to do that.
Oh, and on any of these teams for Zax, if you can take in somebody that will put the follow-up attack on them, the Scrapper Red Fist, that's the debuff, that works wonders. He is not immune to that, and so everybody punches him in the face twice.
Nice.
So that's really good. All right.
Cool.
So Red She-Hulk's good. What do you think Winter Soldier's going to be like? You know what? Do you want to read the patch notes, or you want to just kind of speculate?
Yes, let's do the patch notes now. Really quickly though, patch notes. Let's talk really quickly about Red She-Hulk. She's a generalist. She's got Beat the Heat, so she protects against single target energy and radiation attacks. She gains gamma energy when she's attacked, and of course she's immune to radiation, as we mentioned. Her gamma energy passive increases attack, defense, accuracy, and evasion, and restores health and stamina when gained. So when she is attacked when she does get attacked, she restores a little bit of health and stamina. So similar again to Red Hulk. just kind of scrolling through. All right. Winter Soldier. This is making Kilgara, listener of the show, so happy because he's a huge, huge Winter Soldier fan. He's been demanding Winter Soldier. I wouldn't be surprised if he just spent the gold to buy Winter Soldier outright and just say,
I just go skip everything.
Screw you, lockboxes. I'm just going to buy you. He's an infiltrator. Giving other heroes advantage, which deals increased damage to enemies with locked out moves. So when you lock them out with the whatever you use to lock out their moves, obsolete tech or whatever,
yes,
then this does increased damage to them. His counterattacks and follow-up attacks deal increased damage. So you're going to want to stack him again with like you said, like counterattack abilities. He's immune to delirium effects.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
Yeah, I know, exactly. So nice.
But so is Blade, and Blade didn't work out that well in PvP.
Right. Let's see. Aim shot. It's a single target attack, a gun attack. Causes pain hobbled and gives him retaliation, which counterattacks when an ally is attacked, which gives you that extra damage bonus. Revolutionary Strike is his action 2. Again, one enemy attack. It's his lockout attack, so it can lock out melee, range, buff, or debuff abilities when he attacks. And then that puts Revolution on him, which joins in on single target attacks from your allies.
Nice.
This is the great one here. His action 3 is the Magnetized Minds. So this is what makes him such a great combo with Fixer, is that he can also apply mines. There's Magnetized Blast Mine, Irradiated Frag Mine, and Chemical Mine. If that doesn't sound familiar, it should. And of course, when he puts mines on people, whether it's Fixer's detonation or Winter Soldier's detonation
or the breaching kit,
exactly, will trigger all those. So kind of speeds up the process. You know, that was a big thing with Fixer, is that you had to wait a few turns to get all the mines put onto your enemies. What was it? PRG? No, no, it was...
It's because if it was GRP, it'd make more sense. So it was, right. Yeah, PRG. But it was GPR.
GPR.
Is it GPR?
Yeah, it's Gaper. You want to end with red.
Right, you end with red.
Yes.
You're right. I actually did that a little backwards last night, but still it didn't matter against X.
Right. So you want to end with red, so you do Gaper. And green, purple, red. And then basically put all those mines on there. Well, having Winter Soldier kind of cuts that process down.
Makes it faster.
Yep. And this last attack is a knife assault. It's a melee, single enemy attack. It is a guaranteed hit. 100% chance to hit usually, and it has fatal blow properties, so which defeats your normal enemies with less than 20% health, and of course damages bosses pretty well if they've got less than 20% health.
Man, I hope these mines hit like they did in the movie, because you know,
right?
That was
like
that
flipping
was
over really, Nick Fury's truck. Sure,
yeah, Nick Fury's flipper. Rolling fortress, and all of a sudden, shrink, blue. It's like, oh, right. So much for that, Nick.
Somebody, by the way, I was raiding last night in World of Warcraft, and we started talking about Nick Fury, and somebody misheard me in raid chat, because we have the audio chat, and thought I said McFlurry, which is now is going to be my new name for Nick Fury. It's going to be McFlurry.
I thought it was going to be your new agent name, PvP McFlurry. Agent
McFlurry?
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not? Although I do like that. What is it? Agent, please let me win.
Yes. Agent, let me win. FTH.
Let me win. That's it.
Yes. And I, unfortunately, it's too many characters to use an MA to, so I'm just Agent Coverville. Yeah.
I carry the epic FTH around on all the games from Marvel set. People can find me easily.
By the way, if people are out there are playing MA2 and they want my friend code, my ally code, get ready to write this down or pause. If you're listening to the podcast, just pause right now. My ally code is 642-566-050. And I always try and put characters other than Hawkeye as my leader so that if people don't have that character, then they've got a good team up.
Yeah, right now, if you team up with me, you're getting Hawkeye because I'm focusing on 3-starring him. Mm. So, sorry. But usually I'll have Hulk or... Right. My favorite is Hulk because he's going to give a team strength, and he's just he's a boss in that game.
He's a great tank, and
Oh, and I'm so disappointed. I got his 3-star right. I got a 3-star ability, which I brought in a level 30 Hulk from somebody else before, and saw the whole animation of him in the air, up, slow motion with the forklift. Apparently, that's the 4-star version. Because the 3-star version, he still is cool. He just jumps way in the air and smashes. It's really great. It's,
it's a different thing. It's collateral damage is a different ability that picks up stuff than the one that you're talking about.
Did I miss up and get the wrong one? Because I thought it would be his world. I thought it was world smasher. But that's the problem when I bring in other people. I don't always pay attention to the names of the attacks.
Yeah. You want property damage, which is a 2-star green ability that picks up crap and throws it.
It's so beautiful. It is so gorgeous. It is. But I'll tell you, it's a great animation. The World Crusher, I think is what it's called, the 3-star ability.
Yeah.
I started beating some level S teams, but we'll get into that into the MAA2 section.
Yeah, that is a great, it's expensive ability.
But it is. All the 3-stars are expensive. I've won a few through the roulette, which is
have you?
Yeah, just maybe one. But I've won one or two somewhere in there. But all right, so what do we have next? We talked about Reggie Hulk, which, guys, come on with the artwork. We get that all the women in Marvel are hot. It wouldn't hurt her to have more clothes. I'm just saying. I mean, the punk jacket looks great.
But she didn't know she was going to turn into Red She-Hulk, and she didn't have time to put on some baggy sweats.
Fair enough, I guess. It's a great look. I mean, the black hair with the red skin and the black leather jacket and all that. It's the colors go really well, but I was like, again, another woman who's wearing no clothes. Okay. You know, you don't put out Luke Cage topless. I'm just saying. There's plenty of your audience who would love that. I'm, you know, Hercules. I guess Hercules is half naked. You can give him that. But I don't know. Anyway, so we talked about the Winter Soldier. Howard the Duck. Guess what? Still don't have him.
Oh, you still don't have Howard.
I still don't. Now, I missed more than one day of Spec Ops collections. Or, I keep saying Spec Ops for everything because I'm so excited about Spec Ops. The dailies. I did miss more than one day of dailies, so I didn't have enough. I right now I'm at 4 gold. So essentially when I get to 10 gold, I'll buy another stack of boxes. And I think I still need 20 more boxes to guarantee a cover. Maybe I need 10. I'm not sure. I'm not looking at it right now, but I'm close. I'm very, very close on that 8th bar of getting him. It's just that taunting of you're not there yet. So I don't have him. I do have, however, Squirrel Girl's alt. Did you pick up one of her alts yet?
Not yet. I have the command points to do it. I just wasn't going to do it until I actually had some time to sit down and play the character. Yeah, and I was going to wait until after Spec Ops, or at least until I get Red She-Hulk, because goal right now is to get the highest bonuses possible. And
that makes sense.
I'm not going to have time to play with Squirrel Girl until.
Yeah. Now, apparently with Howard the Duck, she'll get a good bonus. But, yeah, you need to get her leveled, all that jazz. You need to get him leveled if you haven't already.
He's low still.
I bought it. Actually, it looks kind of fun. I mean, it fits her character because and this happened in the comic books, as different forums have pointed out, that this wasn't something, you know, random that Playdum decided to let's try this. No, it's been done in the comics.
is that Playdum's voice?
Well, I think that's the voice of anybody who just does something goofy that it was like, why the hell would you do that?
Let's try this. Let's try this.
Screw you guys, man. Anyway, I don't know. I don't do voices. That's what I can do.
She's only got 3 bonuses with Howard the Duck. She has more in common with
Really?
Oh, she's got 3 with Ant-Man.
Well, there's another kicker with Howard the Duck, though, besides the bonuses. And that's
right.
Shadow turns into Psylocke / Ares, where as long as Howard the Duck's there, everybody starts following up attacks.
Wow, okay.
I don't have Howard, so I haven't been able to test that out yet. But the rest of it, she's good. She's been one of my D-listers for a while because she would die fast. I know they've buffed her since then. I just didn't care enough to play with her that much. Mm-hmm. But they definitely out of the gate, she had real decent attacks, but she just could not survive. And her survivability either has been buffed before this or has been buffed with this, that it's much better. And once I just suited her up with some random refined ISOs that I had on her suit, her stats filled up pretty quickly. And so the attacks are good. There's nothing new to her attacks. It's all her buffs that are different. And she takes a lot less damage in this because Squirrel Girl. That's the literal title. She takes less damage because Squirrel Girl.
Yeah.
And right. So
because Squirrel. That's hilarious.
I know. I think it's funny.
That Ducks in a Row is the one you're talking about, where basically if Howard the Duck is there, everybody gets chances for follow-up attacks. Jeez.
Yep. So.
All right. Well. You know,
but it's take
not
your time.
Limited. It's not limited time, nope. So I can buy it anytime.
Exactly. It's not a meta breaker so far that I've seen. It's like, okay, she still plays the same as far as the attacks go. So I can learn to stack this attack and then do that one. She's pretty easy to read. It's pretty quickly done to figure out how to play her. She just survives a lot better, and then the buffs will help. You know, around she'll help defend you. She'll again, if you have Howard the Duck and everybody starts smashing again. So it'll be interesting. It's a nice tweak to her. It's a fun tweak. It's not limited time. So take your time. Make sure you get what you want done in the game. But it's definitely worth picking up. I think it's fun.
Yeah. Sounds good. I'll definitely pick up at least one. Probably both.
Why not?
That's what I do.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Anything else? You want to talk a little bit of MAA2 just briefly?
Yeah, let's talk MAA2.
Okay.
As you mentioned before, you're Spartan now.
I'm Spartan now. And my main group of five heroes that I take through everything are all Spartans as well.
Nice.
I completed heroics on chapter one, albeit a little bit too late to get the three star Electro, but I did get the one star Electro, and he's already up to level 26. Wasp is up to level 25. But my big five that I take into every battle that I fight with heroics, if I'm not leveling anybody, then it's Captain America, Gamora, Hawkeye, Hulk, and Iron Fist. And they're all three star. They're all level 30.
Nice.
And it's now time to start working on upping their actions, I think, because the costs to get them up to level four is just a little too expensive. So it's more going to be a matter of getting their actions bumped up as opposed to their levels, their main levels.
To me, the people are, I see some people in the chat room about saying, MAA2 gets boring very fast. It just needs... Yeah. That blah blah blah. And PvP, I wouldn't say it's broken. I know Wasp is definitely needs some balancing in PvP.
Sure.
Because the higher level she is, I mean, you go up against a level 30 Wasp, and it's very difficult, to say the least. I mean, sometimes you don't even fight because she can destroy you. And that's really cool, honestly, because she's been middling. I'll say fair to middling in MAA. Even with her EISO, she did better, but she's never a go-to character too much. Right. But when you say to me, what I hear is when you say it's too boring, it's like, well, you're not focusing on the character development because it's all in your hands. 100% the character development is.
Yes, but grinding is boring. You know, Spec Ops is fun. Content is fun. New missions are fun. But when you're now, basically it's a matter of, all right, got the missions done. I mean, for me, it's still not boring, but I can totally see why people would feel like it is boring when you're basically saying, okay, I've gotten all this stuff done. Now it's a matter of just grinding and getting these characters all up to where I want them.
I guess maybe because I'm always playing when I'm doing something else and I don't get to just play all day. So maybe if I put in 8 or 10 hours like I used to do with MAA, I would probably feel the same way. But I don't know. In my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm getting Hawkeye at 3-star, so I've got to go find Electro. So I don't care what these other guys are. I'm going to go blast them until I get to Electro, and then I'm going to focus on that battle.
Yes, right.
I will say it is a little frustrating. I've got Black Panther, who's an infiltrator, stuck at training to level 20. And no matter how many times I've played the infiltrator level 20 scouting mission, I'm not getting the one disc that I need.
I know. That drives me nuts. And crazy, it's definitely not a 1 in 9 chance, or really it should be a 1 in 3 chance, because there are 3 boxes that have those discs, 2 with one of them, and then 1 that has 2 discs. And I've done 3 5 gold resets of the scouting missions and played through 9 times and still not gotten the boxes that have those the solitaires, I think is what they're called.
Okay. I mean, looked at the name of it, but yeah.
Yeah, but whatever the key thing that you want. I've gone through like 9 battles and not gotten one. Now, tomorrow, I'm going to remind you now, Charles.
Oh, no.
Tomorrow's Saturday. Yeah.
Thank you.
Tomorrow is the day, the one day where you get 24 hours to hit the scouting missions hard, and there's a scouting mission that gives you silver. I saved my gold, really, for just resetting the scouting missions over and over again. I was in Vegas this last weekend, and I used it as a money-saving technique. Tina was still sleeping. We were, it's been out really late the night before. Went out and saw some local bands in Vegas, and got up Saturday morning. I'm like, well, I could get dressed and I could go out into the casino floor and play some craps and play some blackjack or whatever. But if I stay in here in the room for like another hour and just do scouting missions, I'll get silver and I'll save a lot of money. So I looked at it as a money saving technique in Vegas.
Nice.
For better or for worse. And then, you know, once I got up to like 80,000 silver, I said, oh, that's it. Out to the craps table.
Out to play craps, which I still don't understand how that works.
Had a brilliant, oh man. I mean, I know this isn't a gambling show like it's a Las Vegas show, but holy cow, that Saturday I was unstoppable. Played craps, made like 250, 300 bucks, went over to the video poker machine and kept getting 4 of a kind and full houses. And it was like, you know, it was my unstoppable day. I gave some of it back on Sunday, but Saturday for me was a really good day. So anyway.
That's awesome.
That's neither here nor there, and not pertinent to MEA. But
now, to a tip on MEA too, I see Jay Wyatt saying getting patch mission 2 and 3 on hardest level is impossible without using gold to continue. When you say hardest, I'm assuming you mean heroic, which is level 31 or higher. Are you the only question I would have, because I haven't gotten that far to even try it yet, because I've done the normal, that's fairly straightforward. I've done hard on level on mission 1, I've done all but the last hard on mission 2, and I haven't started hard on mission 3 yet. I've normaled all of them so far. But yeah, I've noticed heroic always says level 31, and he says you have to use gold to continue all of it. Is your team all level 30s across the board? And then are you leveling up?
I'll bet they are. If he's gotten through mission 1 on heroic, I'll bet he's all 30s. I think he... probably the next thing to focus on is getting...
saying Chapter 3 heroic with Wasp is almost impossible currently.
Oh, really?
So that's what they're saying, and he's saying yes, he's gotten the 30s.
32 and 33 for the other ones.
Okay.
Might even be 33 and 34. It really depends, because right now one of the tasks in Mission 2 for me is Quartet, where you've got to fight all of the alternate versions of the Avengers. The Hydra versions, so it's Tactical Force, and was it Bowman, and I can't remember what they're all called, but like all the alternative Hydra versions of all the Avengers. It's tough. I've gotten wiped out on a couple of them, and I think it's just a matter of saying, okay, what do I need to beef up on my characters? Like, do I need to beef up their abilities? Do I need to beef up their ISOs? I'm really looking forward to there being a good ISO strategy posted, because right now it's such a tough decision to say, all right, do I want to make sets, focus on making sets out of the ISOs and have like the Indomitable set and the set that prevents you from getting debuffs and the set that lets you attack stealthy characters? Or do I want to focus on just slotting all of the defense ISOs on the characters that are easiest to kill and just beef up their defense,
right?
Or beef up their health, or give more attack to those characters that are good solid tanks but need a little bit of a little bit more power. The Reddit is still pretty good. It's a pretty good resource, and that's reddit.com/r/MAA2. There's a lot of great discussion going on there as far as MAA2 and recommendations. But excuse me, but really I'm looking more for a kind of a base, here's your best deal for ISO is not worrying about the color bonus. Don't worry about the pairing up things that are part of the same
right,
the same benefit. Just focus on putting ISOs in there that beef up the stats of the characters you want to use. So anyway.
And that'll come. I think when it becomes widespread across the world, we'll get that for sure. Smarter people than us will figure that out.
By the way, I found out why. So the person, one of the people I went out to Las Vegas with this last weekend, is the director of the game development courses at the University of Utah.
Okay.
The Electronic Arts what is it? It's the EAE. It is. If you look in PC Gamer, you'll see that the University of Utah has the highest rated gaming courses in the world. So it's like even better than places like that are dedicated to game programming classes. And she's at the head of that. And so we were talking about MAA2, and I was showing her the game and saying, "Yeah, this is the, you know, this is how it appeals on every level. You've got the missions, of course, it's got all the characters that you love, and it's also got this aspect of kind of collect them all." And she's like, "Yeah, it's a very, you know, it is a good gaming strategy." And I said, "Right now, it's still only available in Australia, but it's going to go worldwide." She says, "Well, you know why Australia?" And I said, no, tell me why Australia." So if this is the theory, but this is why a lot of game companies do release betas just in Australia first. Australia doesn't use social media like America does. They use it, but not to the degree that Americans use Twitter and Facebook and things like that. And if you were to put out a game in America that is unfinished or has problems, then it's going to get lambasted on social media. It's going to get a lot of negative press on social media.
That makes sense.
And so Australia is kind of like this fertile ground of, we can get this out there, get a little bit of feedback, get people trying the game, but not get the...
And maybe the Australian populace is more understanding of this is a beta release.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Americans... American gamers like me are used to more of the give it to me now, let me play it, this is broken, fix it.
Yeah.
Whereas maybe our friends down under are a little bit more patient and accepting of problems. I don't know. I know we've got some Australian listeners, so it'll be interesting to see hear them chime in on this and explain. But but it was really cool to hear her take bring that part up and say this is why they probably release it in Australia first.
And it makes sense, because obviously if your game's going to get, and you know your game's going to get ripped apart at some point. I mean, that's unfortunately, that's the internet.
Oh yeah, regardless of where you release it. Yeah,
it could be the most perfect, best game ever, and somebody will find problems with it, and everybody else will jump on board with that.
Right.
But it is, I get it. You know, when you're testing the waters, you need more positive feedback than negative feedback.
Well, and not just that, but you don't want to sour your chances of a great game release
right,
by having everybody's first experience with the game be tainted by 1,000 people.
By server issues and crashes, right. Or no, I'm thinking of PlayStation 3 stuff.
Rootkit and all right.
So the one piece of hope I can give everybody, because again I haven't gotten far enough to try the heroics, is if it's near impossible, and we know quote unquote chapter 4 is coming soon, which I think it'll be after the full release that they drop that. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking either there's going to be higher levels to get possibly with agents, or the balance. That's where they're going to find the balance. This is too tough. People aren't really getting through this in a timely fashion, even when they're level 30s across the board and this and that and the other. So they'll retool it. I mean, this is part of that growth period of what goes wrong, what do we need to fix? And I'm hoping, since that's we got multiple reports that it's really, really, really tough, that they'll find, okay, we'll balance this and make it better. Mm-hmm. So that's the hope I can give you. Well, let's see. You know, I think this, everybody's like, those who don't play are like, all right, back to the
yeah, game. I know. Well, it's, you know, it's, don't worry, people. It's,
and you'll get
it's,
it.
It's coming soon, and it'll probably be a lot better by the time it comes out. They'll probably fix a lot of these early issues that people are reporting. So,
yeah. Well, real quick, the JY says they only want positive feedback. That's the problem with Playdom. Okay, so there's a thing to me called constructive feedback where you can tell them this is what's wrong with the game, but you do it in a positive way. It's still positive feedback. I don't necessarily mean positive as in, wow, that's really awesome and what you do is great. And yeah, everybody wants to hear that, but true developers need to know a problem and how to fix it, not your game sucks and I'm going to kill you, which is what actually happens sometimes with the internet. So I think that Playdom wants the constructive feedback in a positive way. That's been my feeling and what I've given to them. And some of the stuff we've seen come back through the show and through Twitter, those kind of things. I think they respond somewhat better to the email Nikolai wrote about how the meta is unbalanced and this and that and the other and reinforced it. And they responded point to point back to it and specifically moved it on. Now, will something be done about it? Hopefully. But those kind of you get that kind of response when you're calm and collected about it versus yelling and screaming, which we used to see. Who was it? Justin Woods used to be the face of Playdom. Mm-hmm. And he got death threats. And I was like, we did a whole show about that. I was like, dude, that's not cool. You know, that's, you got to stop that. And he had to back off of Twitter. And then they made this industrial Twitter MA insiders where a bunch of different people get in. So it's not any one
industrial
person.
Strength.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Well, instead of having a person's name, it's got the MA. You know, right, you put in those little layers.
Company wide as opposed to, yes, right.
Which, and I'm sure if people scream at them, they just block them because that gets you nowhere. So that's mm-hmm. what I want to say about that. Let's do Hercules.
And welcome back to the MAA Microanalysis. I am your friendly neighborhood Puckle Prof, and I'd like to apologize for my absence last week from the podcast, with the reason for it being mostly the fact that I got sick, which knocked me down for the better part of a week. I've also find myself in an ebb at the moment with the Alliance, so I took the time to focus on resting, recovering, and catching up on other things than worrying about supervillains and the like. I really suggest doing the same should you ever find yourself stressed out by Spec Ops or PvP. With that said, I decided that this time around, I wanted to talk about a hero who is really what's cemented my loyalties to the Alliance and became one of the most steadfast team members in battle. He's a hero whose strength rivals the gods themselves, and his actions are the stuff of legends. I, of course, talk about the mighty Hercules. Perhaps the best thing that can be said about Herc here is that he's a tank through and through, and he's also one of the original heroes who can protect his allies while still being able to dish out damage against his foes through counterattacks. Being able to smack your enemies with specific skills designed to weaken melee, ranged, and AoE attacks respectively are all a boon in battle, especially when said skills also make the demigod stronger as well. More often than not, you just need to use the gift of battle once in a fight, and Hercules will take care of the rest. What's more is that with the sheer amount of fellow heroes who are capable of applying the finest hour buffs, the Son of Zeus is nearly always capable of getting his Blessing of Olympus passive sooner rather than later. He's also got a fairly solid selection of ISOs to use in a fight as well, with perhaps the strongest of the lot being the one that lets him use his protection skill as a quick action. Be sure to also equip something like the Big and Fast ISO, which will give Herc even more turns to play around with in a fight. More so than just about any other hero around, Hercules is someone who can quite literally handle himself in a battle with minimal input from the agent. This makes him an excellent teammate to recruit for new agents, as he's capable of decimating any foes that aren't able to sneak around him in a fight. Should you ever really want to put the Glad in Gladiator, there's little you can do wrong with the Son of Zeus. Head back to the Helicarrier agent and see if they know of any other demigods that might want to join us in the Alliance.
Very good. I love Hercules. Hercules is a great, solid character and always has been.
And I don't. I think I might be mixing my universes of DC and Marvel. But isn't there also a Samson? And
there's another Doc Samson in Marvel. I wonder if that's you're not thinking of Doc Samson.
No, he's cool. The one I'm thinking of is Batman. Isn't there another demigod in the Marvel universe? I know there's Hercules.
Well, Ares is a
I'm just mixing Batman and Batman and Marvel. I don't know.
Maybe
because I know the one specifically that pops into my mind now that I'm picturing is like no, that's the rich club owner from the Batman universe who's the demigod. It's whatever. So, but I would take him. You know, you can bring him over from DC recruiting. See if he'll swap teams. We'll take that. So right here is All Hail the King.
What is up from the Helicarrier? It's Kingfisher 745. And this is the All Hail the King segment that you can only find right here. For today, it's going to be kind of a laid-back segment. I don't have anything specific I want to cover. In all honesty, I haven't been playing that hardcore. I've just been kind of waiting on the new spec up, which I wouldn't be surprised if it came out either today or within the next day or two. But that's not going to help us for the segment. I guess I've just kind of been bored. Even though I will say Colleen Wing is a great character, and when I log in, other than the simulator, that's where most of my time goes. So I've tested her out with a few heroes, and she is definitely pretty awesome. Some of the other things that reminds me of is I wish they'd fix the hammer pistol and make all interrupts work consistently. Next, they need to take a look at Kurth, especially with the Elite EISO. Something's just not right about that. There's a bunch of other stuff, but let's just go one thing at a time. As far as the Squirrel Girl Howard cosplay alt, it was a cool idea, it looks cool, but it's just not that great. The meta just isn't kind to her. I don't know what's going on with her damage, but it's extremely low. To be honest with you, with the meta how it is, I may switch to all defensive, and that'll be the first time in a long time. By that I mean defensive on offense and defense. Currently, I'm nearly entirely attack, and I'm still not doing that much damage. So that leads me to believe a defensive armory is where it's at right now. I mean, if I'm going to have to rely on dots anyways, I might as well have high health and defense myself. So those are just a few of the thoughts going through my head, and the other major concern is I'm down to 2 million silver. So that group boss needs to come out ASAP. This time, I'm not going to take it for granted in the final days. Basically, what happens is I barely get any group bosses in the entire beginning of the spec op. Everyone's killing their own, and it really is a shame. So it hurts on lockboxes and silver. But then by the end, I'm absolutely flooded. No one cares about their group boss. So I get so many of them that I end up not doing them myself. It just becomes too tedious. The problem is I'm missing out on silver. And because of that, I may actually run out. So this time around, I'm fighting every group boss until the end. Besides that group boss, the spec op itself looks like it's going to be pretty awesome. Winter Soldier and Red She-Hulk? Yes, please. But even going beyond that, most of us cannot wait for the next chapter. The chapters have become my favorite thing in the game, and they're very far and few between. In anticipation, though, I got Damon Hellstrom up to level 15, and I figured for this week's segment, we're going to focus on him. Currently, he has one custom EISO and one custom AISO. I have his empowered, but I'm missing his augmented. He'll be getting at least another one or two incredible EISO with the chapter, so I'm sure that'll be even better. But the character itself really isn't too bad. I always liked Cloaked in Shadows. Even though I don't know how much Skittering Darkness is going to make your team avoid, it still does make your attack stealthy. His summons are pretty awesome, and there's always the cooperative AISO. Then his level 9 actually removes and prevents debuffs, which I thought was illegalized, but they still let him do it. Shh, don't tell the devs. So yeah, all in all, this guy is definitely usable, and I can only imagine how great his worthy old is going to be. The other great thing about a new chapter is it gives us an opportunity to farm new gadgets and weapons, and I always look forward to that. Besides all the custom EISO and AISO, Basically, what I'm saying is, PD, please release the next chapter soon. Hopefully next month. At the absolute latest. And that's really about all I have to say for now, so the next video will be about Damon, following Colleen's, and we'll see exactly which teams I come up with. So just make sure you tune into the channel. Lastly, thank you all for listening, and back to the hosts.
And just so all of you know, Kingfisher is an official part of the Giant Size Team Up Network, and you should check it out. GiantSizeTeamUp.com is where you can find us. And we have our show here. We got Breaking the Panel, Panel by Panel. Kingfisher, The Blazing Defender Report with Travis Jones. I love that, man. And Mike actually made him a new intro, which sounds really great.
Oh, nice.
MCU Cast and DC on Screen are as the team as it stands right now. So check all that, GiantSizeTeamUp.com. And we're working on improvements in Phase 2 and all that other jazz. So
something interesting to note, by the way. This Spec Ops, it doesn't look like the individual pieces of the set are researchable. It looks like that is, it looks like it's just winnable in the roulettes and
I was just wondering if I hadn't gotten far enough yet.
I haven't seen, because I've 3-starred the first one, the mission one, and that's usually when you get the first.
Yeah, 2 or 3-star, you get one to pop up.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. Well, yeah, I got actually, 2-star. Hold on, what's this?
Complete 2-stars mastery. Blah, blah, blah. Photon ray, 1 of 2. Complete 2-stars of mastery in all Spec Ops 32 missions.
Okay.
Okay, never mind. Yeah. I just saw it pop up now.
Okay. Never mind. I was mistaken.
Jay White says, scroll to the back. And just so you know, that the Kingfisher episode or segment was recorded before Tuesday because we were supposed to do show. We do our shows normally on Tuesday afternoons at 4 p.m. Eastern. And this particular Tuesday, we had no Spec Ops.
In case you're wondering why he's talking about a Spec Ops that he's anxious for that's already out. Yes, exactly.
So, all right, it takes us to From the Field.
I get this first one. Nice.
You get the first one.
Agent Tico writes in, says, hello, PD. Communication is a good business practice. Thank you. Signed, Bill.
And that was a day or two before Spec Ops dropped because everything was soon, TM, you know. Right. They even dropped the, you can win 1,000 red USO for the She-Hulk thing coming soon. If you go to this, like, why would we want to win 1,000 when it's coming soon? And honestly, soon means a long time ago. So people started putting in different memes. I even tweeted out, I was a little pokey of the bear there. I even tweeted out at MAN Insider. Somebody said, what does soon even mean? It's like, well, maybe they're following the Game of Thrones model where winter's coming for 3 seasons. So maybe we'll get the next Spec Ops in 3 years from now.
Oh, God.
So, but that's what he's talking about.
That's funny.
And for whatever reason, this time their communication really, really, really dropped the closer we got to Spec Ops, to the point that they didn't even announce Spec Ops dropped. You know, it was just there.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Wow, that's a good point.
So it's interesting.
You know, some of this you can blame on the holiday. Like, basically, this came out, you know, there was some time that they were working on it that was holiday time, but not all of it. You can't blame all of it on the holidays, because it's what, been 22 days or 21 days since January 1st when everyone had a day off.
I believe their office is set in California, so they even had to observe, they might have had to observe Martin Luther King Day, I don't know, but even that's one day.
Why does that have to do just with California?
Because they do a lot of stuff in Malaysia. They have two offices, I want to say.
Okay. You're saying they probably didn't.
So I don't know. No, I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. I want to read this next email now.
Read the email.
H.S. Sinico says, I think every MAA player today is asking the same thing. Again, these are pre-release of the thing. The same thing. Is tonight the night the Spec Ops is finally going to launch? God, let's hope. Well, it wasn't, sir, because that was a few days ago. PD says it was coded into the game last week. So if they're back to work today, then it should be live, right? Cross your fingers like I am. I just want some new missions to play instead of replaying Season 2, Chapter 9 missions over and over again. I do try to break up the Season 2 farming throughout the chapters and the missions to see, hey, what ISOs don't I have? Oh, I mean, right. I got the Invisible Woman's, and it changed my playing in PvP.
Yeah, hers is a great one.
Hers is great, but I did take the downtime to farm that one. So anyway, so this is going back to this email. So update to last week, I didn't end up regretting the gold for last duck in the boxes. I mean, Howard was okay, like funnish through level 8. That training to level 9, and his duck teeny move was unlocked, and damn! Suddenly, he was going to town on the enemies all over. Sure, he doesn't deal huge damage, but with that many turns, it doesn't matter because he's kicking ass so many times in a row that he makes the agent and the third team member just wait around for when he's finished. Have you got yours to level 9 yet?
He is level, I don't think so. I think he's just under level 9. I think he's at level 8.
All right, well, you better get on
it. He's close. He's close.
He turns into a monster at level 9.
Apparently so.
Nobody gets more turns except for one case. It's funny because for a while I was using the premium mission in Wakanda, Season 2, Chapter 9, Mission 6, to level up Howard and Spider-Girl. I almost read Spice Girl for some reason, but he wrote Spider-Girl totally.
Don't tease me.
Sorry. Spice. Tell me what you want.
Playable Spice Girls characters in my MA would be perfect.
That would be their moves. Tell me what you want. Then the second one is what you really, really want.
The fourth move, zig a zig ah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That's what I realized is how many turns in every fight that Black Panther takes. I love playing him, though, because he hits like a freight truck, and because he gets multiple turns, he literally wipes the floor with most of those Hydra goons. Can't wait to see his inevitable Civil War movie alt in a few months. Oh, my God. That'd be so awesome.
That is going to be cool with the silver, kind of the silver embellishments on his uniform.
Yeah, that'd be so good. So he being Agent Ocinico and a few others have been the champions of me sticking it out and getting Howard. Because I'm like, man, I've already spent like 30 or 40 gold and I still don't have him. Mm. And it's taking that, man, he better be epic. You know, it's not rational, it's unreasonable. But when I start having to spend gold, that epicness needs to ratchet up. So if I get him his A-bomb... but no, that I love that report. That was good.
Cool. Agent Raimi wrote in, said, "Greetings, agents. This is Agent Raimi, FTH. First, hope you all are doing well and enjoying Squirrel Girl's new alt, and hope you're all ready for the Spec Ops, which is likely to drop sooner or later. My question is, does anyone think that 515 CP is too much for a hero that we'll probably get with 200 CP months later? Which is a big transformation from the last three Spec Ops, as the maximum CP needed was 335 CP. Not to mention that Red She-Hulk isn't as OP as her comic counterpart, as her skills were released by Playdom. So wait, so 515 CP is what you need for...
to recruit the heroes, I guess?
To recruit the heroes that are required, yeah.
And I can't remember off the top of my head who the heroes were. I'm sure we can go back and look it up after this email.
Right. As for that, for me as a free player, getting 515 CP in 30 days is impossible. My odds are better with Winter Soldier. I have a feeling that he will cause a blizzard to the meta. Get it? Secondly, I wanted to share with you Playdom's reply on Boomerang, which I sent them. He sent them an email. Their reply was, "Greetings, Agent Raimi. Thank you for sharing your feedback. We've run some tests and can confirm that Boomerang's tracker ring hasn't been putting out the additional hits that it should.
We can't make guarantees
about any future plans or decisions made by our developers, but we're always happy to receive feedback from loyal players such as yourself about character abilities, and we'll be sure to send your observations along. I hope this means it'll be fixed soon. Anyway, good luck and goodbye." So I didn't know about this. That's interesting. There were undocumented changes to a few characters. Let me pull that up because Nikolai sent those over a moment ago.
Oh, good.
They added, by the way, Hammer Pistol. It's funny that Kingfisher was talking about Hammer Pistol. They actually reduced the damage it does, reduced the combo breaker damage, and it also doesn't apply rattled and cognitive strain.
Well, throw that in the trash then. Why would I want that anymore?
The Maji Atomi gun damage was reduced. All right, so let's see here. Radiated frag mine, blah, blah, blah. Resist radiation. Here we go. Boomerang. It was basically just going through a lot of the characters and adding radiation to the following hero abilities. So Boomerang gets it on Isorang. Fixer gets it on the irradiated frag mine. Havoc gets it on a few of his attacks. Basically, adding radiation so that so it's compatible with the new characters that they're introducing.
Okay.
Abomination gets stealthy to his, a couple of his attacks radiate and quaff ISO aid. A bunch of team-up bonuses were added to the game. Thundra, Elektra, and Deadpool all now have one called Code Red. A little bit of a benefit. And that's it. But, yeah, lots of radiation added to a lot of different hero abilities. So,
and in the first mission, the AISO is for anybody that adds radiation to, I believe, slashing attacks.
Mm-hmm.
My camera keeps cutting off apparently on Skype for no apparent reason.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, you're just.
Yeah, I keep noticing it on the broadcast, which is delayed. But I apologize, people. I know you like to see my pretty face.
Fix your damn camera. Might be on my end. I keep noticing that there's like a message that comes up saying I'm using a high amount of CPUs, which I've just, the only three things I've got open are Skype, Twitch, and Chrome. Yeah. And Chrome is just doing the Twitch chat. There we go. You're back on now. So I don't know.
It's weird. Whatever.
Anyway, so, back to Agent Raimi's.
Now, people are arguing in the chat room that it's actually 335 CP. So I'm wondering where the way he was counting for the 515.
Well, you get a couple tasks where you have to take Molly.
Molly has to go out. So if you don't have her.
Right. And A-Bomb, you have to do a.
I just bought him.
Fight a mission with A-Bomb.
Yeah.
So that might be where they're getting some of those too.
Yeah. Because you can team up with A-Bomb if you play through mission two to one of the boss fights. I don't know if you can team up with Molly. Because I'm on the A-Bomb one right now, and it says he's a team-up in Mission 2. I went ahead and bought him just so I wouldn't have to spend ISO to get to the team-up. He might be counting A-Bomb and Molly. Yeah, typically, if they say use them, they do give you a team-up somewhere. Molly's in Chapter 1, or Mission 1, rather. Mm-hmm. So I imagine she's probably a team-up in there. I don't know. I had her, so I didn't look.
Sure. All right, just to kind of wrap up Agent Raimi's email. Thank you for sharing your feedback. I guess I did read it all. Right, they responded about Boomerang's tracker ring, and there we go.
There we go. I did notice because I was playing with Boomerang during the downtime. I'm like, yeah, I'll level him by playing with him. And I had took him and Anya out, and I would put the tracker on. I noticed, well, maybe it's just a low percentage chance because it was never hitting.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm glad to see I wasn't the only person that thought that. I did give up on the silver because I kept all 15s on my flight deck to the silver farm. Mm-hmm. But I fell behind on my simulator, so I don't have any 15s to train.
Oh,
so
it's like a level.
So let me flip this a little bit. And I put all my under 10s, which I actually had three or four, surprisingly. I surprised myself that I had three or four under level 10. So they're all on the flight deck now. Getting leveled up.
Nice.
And then we got Zax, so now I'm at 2 million silver. So
cool.
Agent Wiggles says, it's a bit long and off topic, so no pressure to read it on mic. If not, if it's not relevant or if there isn't time. But there's time and it's fun. So, hello, Helicarrier. I wanted to talk about this petition for Deadpool movie to get a PG-13 cut of it so kids can see it. And I'm aware this petition will have little to no actual effect on the movie, but sometimes that really bugs me in this internet age where any and everyone has feelings and they're always hurt. And, you left out butt. They're always butt
right,
hurt.
Butt hurt, yeah.
In case you don't know, here's the story. A woman with an 8-year-old boy talked about her son's begging her to let him see the movie, offering to clean his room and do other things that little boys hate doing, I suppose. So rather than insisting he's too young to see an R-rated movie like a decent parent, she decides to start a petition to get a PG-13 cut of a movie. Note for an 8-year-old son who isn't 13.
Right.
A movie that comes out in less than a month, also mind you. Here's where I get out my admittedly smaller soapbox, but it's how you use it, right, Jeannie? Mm-hmm. I don't know what the Jeannie reference is.
I don't
Jeannie. Right, Jeannie?
I
don't still don't get the reference, even though I read it correctly the second time. I'm going to use the word you a lot, and I don't mean that towards whichever unfortunate person gets stuck reading this, but rather directed towards the parents in general. But I'll take it since I am the parent in the group.
Yes.
Saying no to children feels like
I'm a parent.
I forget about I'm thinking about Klotz, sorry. Yeah. Because I had Klotz and Wisdom. Wisdom's a brand new parent.
Who you mentioned? I don't know this name that you're mentioning. Who?
All right, moving back to the email. I get it. If I were 8 when this movie came out, I'd beg, kick, scream whenever I needed to do to be allowed to see it. My parents wouldn't have wanted me seeing sexual content at that age. Is it R for drugs too? Well, I know it's definitely violence. There's some sex stuff. I know a lot of sex jokes.
Oh, really? Yeah, I don't think it's sex as much as it's just the violence.
Yeah, I have a hard time imagining there's going to be nudity in the thing, but if it is, it'll be passing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there could be drugs, there could be all kinds of stuff, but it's definitely the foul mouth and the violence that's going to get it. They wouldn't have liked that either, language and violence. Sure, I was already desensitized to that, and I turned out perfect, as he wrote it. You ask. I would have been mad, thrown a fit. That's great, man. You wrote that well. But if I got everything I asked for as a kid, I wouldn't be the charming, ranting fellow I am now. But the MPAA did their job, and they decided this movie isn't suitable for kids under 17. Now it's on you, the parent, to decide whether or not your kid can handle seeing a boob or someone doing drugs or someone saying bad language. It's not just saying bad language. It's the context and
it's turning a bunch of people into a shish kebab on a katana sword, I'm sure.
And we'll see, because I do, as a parent, I do let my kids watch stuff that most parents wouldn't let their kids watch. And it depends on if I'm ready to have a conversation or I think they're ready to process it. Like we watched Hercules with, was that the one with The Rock, or was that, I think, no, the one with Jason Momoa. And all of a sudden, just like the standard old days of Hercules and stuff, there was naked women. And my kid was, I think he was 8 at the time. And because the violence was Hollywood violence. It wasn't even Deadpool level. And so I was like, yeah. And I look at him, he didn't even register. I'm like, we'll just keep on going. You know, he goes, why are they naked? It's like, because they look good. I don't know, dude.
Because it's in their
writing. Boobs. Yeah, because they wrote it. And yes, you're right. I mean, but, you know, if it's graphic sex, he's 10 now, my oldest son, and it's like, he's at an age where it's going to be very uncomfortable for him. So until he gets older, then I probably wouldn't let him see it. But, yeah, you know, I'm going to watch Deadpool myself, and I'll make the choice. Going back to what he's saying, he fits right into this. It's not the responsibility of filmmakers and editors to change the movie your kid is interested in to better suit your parental guidelines. The movie is made, the rating is set, the rating clashes with your parenting. The responsibility is now on you as a parent to decide if your child can handle it. Being a good parent means you can't always be the cool parent. If your kid can handle R-rated content, then see the movie with him. An R rating doesn't mean it's illegal for your kid to see it. It means you have to be there with them. If you're not sure, see the movie yourself before making a decision. Asking people to bend over backwards for the sake of your inability to put your foot down as well, it irks me mildly.
Sure, as it should.
I can't say I didn't see something like this coming. Despite Deadpool being a very R-rated character at his core, he's thrown into a lot of kid-friendly media like Lego Marvel. That's my input. What do you guys think about Deadpool's R rating? The idea of this petition as a parent or parents who might have kids that want to see the movie. Are you gonna allow Tristan to see this, Ibbit?
Well, Tristan's 19, so
that's not the question.
I'm gonna allow him to see it. He's already got plans to see it. He'll probably, you know, I'm gonna go out and see it as soon as I can, but I'll bet you he sees it before I do.
Oh, that's funny. He's, I'm going up at night. I've already got my plans made.
You're midnight, you're gonna see the midnight show.
I'm doing the midnight show, man. Well, that works better for my kids.
I'm too old. I keep falling asleep I fell asleep during damn Watchmen.
Well, but you get up at like 5 a.m. or something, don't you?
I do. Yeah.
So that's the difference. It's not you're too old. It's your sleep schedule is totally different than mine.
My sleep schedule is screwed up is what it is.
I'm definitely doing the midnight schedule. And here's the thing. I want to take this well-written email and apply it to gaming as well.
Oh,
and
yeah,
to
good.
Facebook. So when my son was 8, so I think it has been about 2 years since Playdom shut their servers down and moved it over to Facebook. He saw me playing my game all the time, MAA, and he wanted to play. I'm not about to put an 8-year-old on Facebook for any reason. I just don't care. It's not going to happen. So I was able to put him on the Playdom servers. I set up an account for me and let him play through it, and he did very well. He got Doom before I did because he's a little cheating bastard. And
I remember the lockbox fiasco.
Oh, my God. That drove me crazy. But he did well. But he didn't really make it to level 30. I said that was my deal with him. If you make it to level 30 on your agent, because that takes time. It takes really showing me you're going to play it. I said, play however you want. I don't care. And I'll give you tips and tricks and whatever, and I'll help you. But if you get to level 30, then I'll give you a Facebook account. And he never made it to level 30. And that's the thing. That's parenting, is you got to understand the bigger things that go on with it. Man, there's a friend of mine I worked with, her son was 13 or 14. And she didn't know anything about games. She goes, what do you think about this? At the time, it was Grand Theft Auto 3, I think it was 3 or 4. And she was like, what do you think about this GTA 3? And it was the one with the hot coffee mod. And that was the first one where you could bang a hooker and then kill the hooker and take her money.
Right.
So she was like, I bought it for
him. Do we need to issue an NSFW warning on this episode?
Maybe we do. I used terms you could say in work.
Sure.
Ish. Come on. We're all PG-13 adults here. Go ahead.
Keep going.
she was like, oh, I bought it for him because he really wanted it. And da da da. But he said something about I had to sign something and this. And I was like, are you kidding me? Do you know what this game's about? No. I said, do you know what the GTA even stands for? She goes, no. I'm like, oh my God, you're such a bad parent.
Oh, no kidding.
No kidding. She was just buying it for him because he wanted
no
it.
No research, no
nothing.
Oh, he says he wants it, so yeah. I've got to go buy it for him.
And quite honestly, he was a mature kid and he was probably ready for it. And it was fine as long as he understood the repercussions in real life and this and that and the other. But yeah, she didn't have any idea. So I was like, okay, I'm going to San Andreas. Jet Black says San Andreas. That's one. Right. So I guess I'm going to explain the game to you and you make your decision. And she was horrified. And we're both paramedics. So I used blatant F-bombs, just in your face, I said, I think he'll be okay with it. If you want my opinion, I think it'll be fine, but you need to I just berated her about being horrible. Sure.
Yeah. You need to do a little more investigation. Use your, be a parent and like look up the things that your kids are interested in just to make sure. There's a little too much hands-off parenting these days with people expecting that directors and teachers and friends are going to parent your children when it really should be you, the parents.
Yeah.
That's for a whole different show.
Yeah, totally. Maybe we should have you on Success Freaks and we can talk about good parenting. That'd be fun.
No, I'm probably not a good example. I let my son see Jurassic Park when he was 8 because he was really into dinosaurs.
Oh, that's fun.
No, I did the research. I said, oh, yeah. And we saw it before we took him. It's like, all right, he eats a lawyer in a toilet. Oh, that's fine. My son can see a dinosaur eat a lawyer in a toilet.
See, I think that's good parenting because I went to Jurassic Park 2 and there was a 4-year-old sitting behind me.
Oh, geez.
The whole time going, You're scared till you're scared. And I turned around mid-thing going, you're scared. Shut up. Or I'm going to have a dinosaur come and eat your daddy while you sleep.
Oh, my God.
I was pissed. I was really mean back then. But he ruined the movie for me. He wouldn't shut up. I was like, that's just bad parenting.
It is bad parenting.
So. And then the kid freaked out. Not because of me. Well, maybe because of me. I don't know. But he did freak out at certain points. And I'm like, see, shut up, man.
Do you remember as a kid any movies that you...
Oh, yeah.
Wanted to see that you were too young.
Oh, my God. Okay, so HOTS, HOTS.
I remember HOTS,
You remember HOTS? Everybody our age remembers HOTS. Help Out the SEALs is what it stands for, but that is not what it was about at all.
Right. No.
But somebody, Jay Wyatt, says Porky's. He wanted to see Porky's at 10.
Yeah,
but
Porky's is a great example.
I mean,
that's
the thing. Yeah, your kid might see it. At 8, he doesn't have the wherewithal to figure out how to sneak around and do that. Right. And again... I'm going to watch the movie, and my 10 and 9-year-old, who are watching the trailers with me, the Red Band trailers with me, they're like, oh, I want to see it. And I flat out told them, I don't know. I mean, I let you watch a lot of stuff because I taught them. It's a movie. I mean, that's the bottom line. I don't care if it's scary. It's a movie. Mm-hmm. And use your brain and understand it's just TV. And then something I taught them because I let my son watch The Mummy when he was 5 or 6 and said, look at me. If I'm not scared, you're not scared. And that got him through, and he loved The Mummy. I mean, he watched the crap out of it, and it can be a little scary. It's still, to me, a kid's movie. I think it was PG-13. But, at 5 or 6, you can't always differentiate that stuff.
Yeah.
I taught, and that worked. Was, he'd look at me, and I wasn't scared, and he was okay. So you use your own judgment, people.
Yeah, exactly.
So those are our tips of the week.
Parent better. Tip of the week.
Yeah.
Yeehaw.
I'll give you a tip because Emmett says it all the time, and I just kind of got in a groove and wasn't paying attention. Mm-hmm. And I'm past the first research in the Spec Ops, and I'm doing my missions. I'm actually clearing out Zaxxas. And as I clear out, I collect everything from my people.
Right.
And then I got to, hey, get 2 distress calls. Oh, crap. I had two left. That was it.
Wow.
So I was able to collect the two. So be careful in the between the first and second research. You're gonna collect your radios.
And keep in mind that one of the later tasks is to fight five group bosses. So
that slowed me down too. But it's not between the second, the first and second. I'm researching Little Brother right now, so I can clear out my
22 Zaxus. Task 22, I think.
Oh yeah, I'm not gonna get to that today at all.
Yeah.
So, Little Brother, I'm looking at Little Brother and Big Brother. That's interesting how they name these things this time.
Right. And it looks like, what's the thing it looks like? It looks like the quantum accelerator.
Yeah, it looks like the quantum accelerator. It looks like a couple of the blocky things we have. But yeah, the quantum accelerator definitely is one. The damage reducer one, it looks like that a little bit. So, and hey, another tip before anybody's got his tips. Do whatever missions you can outside of Spec Ops. I actually had saved up my CP anyway. I went and bought A-Bomb so I could use him without spending any ISO. I collected my distress calls, of course. I used Molly outside of the Spec Ops because it counts.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely do anything you can. Now, any of the specific bosses, any of the specific bad guys, kill six AIM soldiers is not going to work outside of Spec Ops.
Sure.
But there is a lot you can do to do that.
Cool. I don't have any other tips, honestly. Right,
there you go.
Yeah.
So here comes Mike.
Agents, listen up. Music from the Helicarrier provided by The Beginning at Last. Subscribe to Twitch TV to see us whenever we're live. Give us a review, rate us, and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Find more of Epic Boss McFall on House of the Bear at Facebook and the Success Freaks podcast. And more of Agent Ibbitt on the Coverville podcast, and Agent Klotz just hanging out all over the Helicarrier website. Agents, your primary point of contact is via email at fromthehelicarrier@gmail.com, and find everything else you need, from tips and strategy on the game to full archive episodes on the helicarrier.com website. Agents, this has been another proud podcast from the Helicarrier Podcast Network.
And with that, Zax has fled.
No, I need the silver.